Good evening. Before we begin, a disclaimer and a warning for tonight's episode. Tonight's broadcast may be unsuitable for children, adults, and living creatures.
Listener's discretion is advised.
I've been keeping my ear to the streets. The UK run out of ideas. Everybody giving covers of American beats.
Live from the In the Room studios, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network. Worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Joey Stubbs. What's going on, Joey?
You know, for somebody who makes his living on radio, you have a hard time stringing together words. You all right?
I was trying to make a point. I'm using football as a soliloquy.
you really have a way with words.
Rat Boy didn't even want to call in last week since you weren't here, so.
And the very first person that was ever in the ring was an amateur, Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman was not an NCAA champ.
Oh my God.
I am heartbroken. I don't know why you're laughing.
Albert, you're a freeloader.
It's buzzed around the world. Twitter blew up. Facebook blew up.
It's the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. What's going on, Jimmy?
Well, you never know. Telephone, telegraph, and tell the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, we're full of all kind of surprises.
This is a honky-tonk man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time in the WWE, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
You know why you don't want me on your radio show? Because you know the ratings will go through the roof, you'd make a lot of money, and that way you keep me off, that way you will stay always broken.
Let's try this again. VOC Nation Radio Network. This is Wrestling with History. Eric, that was a false start, right? Nobody knows because nobody will ever hear it, but we tried for 15 minutes to start the show, our very first broadcast coming back, and it was a complete failure.
I love a good conspiracy, you know, Bruce. I have a feeling there's powers out there that are working against us already.
It's insane.
They're afraid to have us back on the air.
Oh, my Lord. So, Eric, Wrestling Marks, Eric, back in the saddle. Again, we did this about 15 minutes ago. But, Eric, this is really the first time that you and I have talked live probably in 6 or 7 years. It's crazy. Since we all fell apart back in the old days.
Yeah. We crumbled like a house of cards. And here we are back. Somebody's putting putting the cards back together, and we'll see what happens from here. It's going to be fun.
Well, the network has thankfully survived. I left about 5 years ago. I turned it over to Brady, and I turned the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program still airs live on Wednesday afternoons at 5:30 with King David Lane. So it's nice that the place stayed together. I still continued a little bit to bankroll it in the background, and here we are. I'm back. You're back. And this is Wrestling with History. So every week, Eric, we're going to talk about a different part of wrestling history, hopefully with a very special guest each week that was part of that part of history, and compare it a little bit to what's going on today. Now, I was telling you a little bit off the air, I haven't watched the WWE product really full-time. I check in here and there, but I haven't watched it full-time since I left 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm still a fan, Bruce. I don't watch it. I watch it a lot on Fast Forward, but I do keep track. I do watch the pay-per-views still. I wouldn't say I'm enjoying it as much as I have in the past. I'm definitely not. I don't think anybody is right now. So I think talking about the past will be far more enjoyable than really discussing what's going on right now.
Can you call it a pay-per-view anymore when you really just pay $9.95?
What do you call it
a pay-per-view though, right?
Right. Yeah, but I don't know what to call a network special.
Network special. That's what they are. They're network specials.
I don't know. That's just a guess.
Well, the only special thing to me on the network is the old stuff. That's what I get excited about. I watch like the old Saturday night's main events, the old stuff, and I get excited. And then I get back to my youth and I say, this is what was good. This stuff on TV today isn't good. It's like they're trying to be actors instead of wrestlers. They're reading off of scripts. And these people, they didn't go to acting school, Eric. They went to wrestling school. What's happening?
That's the part I really don't understand, Bruce. You made the great point. They're wrestlers who they're trying to turn into actors. And for some it works, but I'd say for the majority, it's a tremendous failure right now. It's not the same. Like you said, the good old days where guys were doing their thing and it was a story that was told through the wrestling. Now it's stories that are told for hours on a microphone. It's never ending.
Yeah, and I think that's why, and listen, for everybody that tuned in to hear about WrestleMania, we're going to get to that. But that's why, I'm just setting this up, by the way. That's why I think AEW has kind of come up out of the ground, because it's something that brings people back to the classic periods in wrestling history, and it's something that takes people back to what they want to see, which is people being themselves, creating characters that are a version of themselves. And I'm telling you what, Eric, I watched that pay-per-view. It was the first pay-per-view I've paid for in so long, and it was awesome. I mean, it brought me back to 1999.
Yeah, there's something about the AEW that it reminds me of the last time I felt like this with wrestling was when ECW, when I first discovered it on the MSG network at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I watched this and I said, wow, what is this? I want to see more. And that's how I feel about AEW already. I mean, one show, and I can't wait until they're on TV to watch more.
Now, none of this would be possible. None of this would be here today if it were not for the very first WrestleMania. And Eric, you know, I've been friends now with my buddy, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. I've used him in business as well as the old stuff we used to do in the wrestling world. But I've been friends with Jimmy for a long time. Jimmy was supposed to join us tonight on the air, and he was not able to do so. He had a flight conflict, and he is out for tonight. So we have no Jimmy Hart,
man.
Unfortunately. But you know what,
I was looking
Eric,
forward to that. Yeah.
You know what I got instead?
What do you got?
To talk about WrestleMania 1 with us. He's not here yet, but I went. Yeah.
Okay.
Very special. Somebody
right.
that. Now, when you think of music, right, and wrestling, who do you think
mm-hmm.
of? Who do you think of?
Unfortunately, because we're talking WrestleMania 1, the first name that comes to mind is Cyndi Lauper. So do you have Cyndi
Lauper.
Lauper, is that what you're telling me?
Not Cyndi Lauper.
Are you telling
Lauper.
Me Cyndi Lauper's calling in? Okay.
Cyndi Lauper is not calling in.
That would be something.
She just
else.
Wants to have fun, Eric. She just wants to have fun.
Yeah. Wow. I'm stuck. Cyndi Lauper is the first name that comes to mind, Bruce. I'm trying to think of another name to pop into my very old brain here, and nothing's coming to mind.
Well, think about it. Think about it for a little bit. It's not Cyndi Lauper, but we'll tease you a little bit. This is a music and wrestling combination. It's somebody – now, right. My promise of somebody that participated in WrestleMania, I could not make that happen. But this is somebody else that is, I think, a talent. It's somebody that has a lot of talent, and I'm excited to talk to this person today.
Excellent. Bruce, you always come through when when everything seems at its lowest point. You come through and turn everything around, so I'm very excited.
Well, I got a lot of rust on me, Eric, so I'm going to do my best, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, listen, if you're out there, you're listening, you want to get to the show, you can call in. It's not toll-free anymore. You have to pay for the call, but who does that these days? Everybody's got cell phones. It's 657-383-1666. I'll remember that by the time we do this 2 or 3 weeks in a row. 657-383-1666. We're going to talk about WrestleMania 1 in just a second. WrestleMania 1, the national anthem, Eric, speaking of music, was sung by none other than Mean Gene Okerlund. What'd you think about that rendition of the national anthem?
You got to love Mean Gene. Who knew he could actually sing? I was a 14-year-old kid watching Mean Gene Okerlund sing the national anthem. It was great.
I don't know if he can sing. I just watched it again in preparation for this
yeah.
show, and I still don't think he can sing.
No, he can't really sing, but I guess compared to what I could do, I consider it singing. It's not the easiest song in the world to sing, So, you know, he did better than I could do. So I'll call him to sing. I'll say he sang that song.
Have you ever heard my rendition of American Pie?
Yes, I have. A few times. I actually not too long ago.
You think I could do the national anthem at a WrestleMania?
I think you should give it a try. Why not?
I think I could call the WWE, right? As long as we don't talk too much smack about them today, maybe they'll give me a chance. Maybe I can send them that American Pie video, and they'll put me up there for WrestleMania. What are we at, 36?
I think so, 36, 37, something like that.
All right. So Mean Gene sings the national anthem. At least it wasn't Tutti Frutti, right? I mean, he could have came out there, blasted us with Tutti Frutti. That's not the way to start out the very first WrestleMania. We might not be talking today if that had happened.
You brought back the memory of Vince McMahon in his suit singing. What was his song? That was terrible.
Oh. Yeah, it's taking me back. It's that Pile Driver album. We'll think of it. We'll think of it before we go off.
Remember though, he's walking around in a suit, and it's just the most awful. That was the worst singing of all. That was worse than Roseanne.
That was back when they could put anything on TV and people loved it. It was they could do no wrong in that mid-80s period.
You're absolutely right. They cartoons with bad voices of the characters and. I mean, anything they did, though, you're right. It made money back. It was licensed to print money for a while there.
And if Vince didn't go out, he didn't step out and buy those territories up and string them together and put on WrestleMania and continue to do that, continue to push the envelope, we're not talking today because, I mean, maybe somebody else would have done it, but I don't think anybody else had the brains and the moxie of Vince McMahon to do what he did. And I think if it didn't happen the way it did, things would be very different today.
Oh, the passion and don't forget that the passion and dedication to the sport, say whatever you want about Vince McMahon, but he loves wrestling. He probably loves it more than anybody has ever loved it or ever could love it. I mean, you hear stories about him, still working 18-hour days, and it's nonstop wrestling. So, I mean, it's amazing. The guy, say whatever you want about him, the guy's a genius. And we wouldn't have the wrestling world we have today without him.
Not at all, not one bit. So your host for the show, Eric, Gorilla Monsoon, Jesse Ventura, loved Gorilla Monsoon. There's people that say good and bad things about Gorilla's commentary, and he, you know, he's not the tactician that some, you know, you have sometimes today. But Gorilla Monsoon was great at telling a story, and you felt him. I think that's what sometimes you're missing with Michael Cole and some of the guys on WWE today. You felt Gorilla, and you really felt like he was into the show, and he was completely surprised by what was happening. It didn't feel like a scripted story.
No, Gorilla was great. I think the way he and Jesse worked together was a very special thing, because Jesse brought to the table that edge that Gorilla clearly didn't have and wasn't supposed to have. So Jesse got to do all of the tougher, you know, he played the heel, obviously. It was, if you ask me what's missing in today's wrestling announcing, is there is no more heel announcer to go against the babyface announcer. They're all kind of, you know, they don't play that role like they used to.
No, they're all kind
Gorilla
of the
and
same
Jesse
thing.
Did a great job.
Right.
Yeah. They walk the line. They don't really say anything negative or positive too often about, you know, one or the other. They just kind of – and they don't go at each other at all. The interaction between the announcers is terrible these days.
No, I agree, and I think it only seems to get worse. And I know – see, the thing to me is that as much as Vince McMahon has tried to script everything, like carefully script everything, he's got Hollywood writers, he's in their ear sets, he's telling them what to say – the more that he does that, the worse that it seems to get. And I don't know if he's understanding that. Now, listen, I'm not behind the scenes. I'm not controlling the budgets, and the stock price has done very well. So who am I to say this? But I think the product on TV is absolutely suffering. And it to me, and I look at Meltzer's ratings for some of the old stuff. Yeah, the star ratings on these matches are not the greatest for WrestleMania 1, but it still blows the hell out of anything that I see on TV today, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, no. I was going to ask you a question, actually. Do you think that Vince was in their ear, Gorilla and Jesse, the way they are now with the announcers? Or do you
think
they were allowed to say more? Yeah.
I don't think so, Eric,
so?
But I'll tell you what. I'm going to find out because I got a very special guest that's waiting on hold.
Right.
I got some callers lined up on hold. This special guest, I bet you if anybody can tell us, this guy can. He's part music, part wrestling, and we're going to talk to him on the other side.
What a tease.
You have an idea who it is?
No, I'm going to think through the commercial break here.
He's going to tell us because he knows. He knows everybody. He was part of the business.
All right.
Think about it. 657-383-1666. Your call, and Rat Boy is on hold, and our special guest is on the other side as well. Yeah, Rat Boy. VOC Nation is the place to be. This is VOC Nation Wrestling with History. We'll be back in 3 minutes worldwide on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Joey Styles. What's going on, Joey?
You know, for somebody who makes his living on radio, you have a hard time stringing together words. You all right?
I was trying to make a point. I'm using football as a soliloquy.
You really have a way with words.
Rat Boy didn't even want to call in last week since you weren't here, so...
And the very first person that was ever in the ring was an amateur, is Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman was not an NCAA champion.
Oh, my God.
I am heartbroken. I don't know why you're laughing.
Albert, you're a freeloader.
It is. It's buzzed around the world. Twitter blew up. Facebook blew up.
It's the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. What's going on, Jimmy?
Well, you never know. Telephone, telegraph, and tell the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, we're full of all kind of surprises.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time in the WWE, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
You know why you don't want me on your radio show? Because you know the ratings will go through the roof, you make a lot of money, and that way you keep me off, that way you will stay always broken.
Live from the In the Room studios, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Vince Russo, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews, insightful blogs, and of course, the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program. And lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
This is a very special VOC Wrestling moment.
Ox Baker sings a song for the VOC Wrestling Nation.
The VOC Nation said, Ox, when you gonna quit wrestling? I said, you better listen to me. I'm never gonna stop this wrestling business till the big man upstairs counts to three. I've got the old time, I've got the old time, I got the old time, wrestling blues.
The music stylings of Ox Baker, let's hear it!
You just listened to a very special VOC wrestling moment. Tune in on Wednesdays at VOCNation.com.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013, as voted by the Courier Times, Duncan School of Driving, specialist in teenage driver training. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident free. 215-639-1990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association.
the Duncan School of Driving, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. The voice of choice here, are you looking for a videographer for your event, maybe a wedding, party, company video? Well, listen, Metro Media Studios is focused on providing high-quality service and customer satisfaction, and they'll do everything they can to meet your needs. They got a variety of services to choose from. They'll make sure that you get the professionally produced video of your dreams. MetroMediaStudios.com. That's Metro with an A, MediaStudios.com. Check them out today.
This is Samoa Joe, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
All right, VOC Nation Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Radio Network. You can join the show 657-383-1666. You can follow VOC Nation on Twitter at VOC Nation. My Twitter handle is at Bruce VOC. Eric, do you have a Twitter anymore?
I have one. I haven't been on it in probably since the show ended, Bruce.
Is it still at Wrestling Marks?
I think it's at WMXERIK, I think. To be honest,
well, check
with you, I'm
that
not
out.
Sure.
You're going to want
to
re-engage.
I have
you
to
want
look.
To talk to the peeps. All right.
Yeah,
Eric,
I
do you have any guests
on.
Who my guest is? Who did I line up for to talk with us today? Insider.
Since it's not Cyndi Lauper, I really don't have a good guess. Because that we're talking WrestleMania. I'm thinking Bruce is coming through with the big one, Cyndi Lauper. It's not her, so maybe it's a background singer for Cyndi Lauper. I don't know.
By the way, Jimmy Hart did call me during the break to apologize, and we're going to try to get him next week. So anybody that tuned
awesome.
In to hear Jimmy next week. But, Eric, I went back, and I got somebody else that was inside the business. This guy wasn't at WrestleMania, but this guy was a part of WCW in the 90s. I'm talking about none other than the Stro. What's going on, Stro?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm great. Stro, you know, I really wanted a name because I hate to let people down. When we book a guest, we advertise the guest, and then we can't deliver. That really stinks. But you were part of WCW at a time when the business was as hot as it ever was.
Oh, man, the Monday Night Wars. Amazing time.
Stro, does that happen if WrestleMania doesn't happen? Does the Monday Night Wars – is wrestling, does it go down a different track if Vince McMahon doesn't have the cojones to start WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we mentioned earlier on the podcast, I mean, WrestleMania pretty much changed the landscape, the entire industry. For everything that we know now, pay-per-views, special big events, et cetera, all stemmed from WrestleMania. Even Starcade happened earlier before then with, like, old NWA, which eventually evolved into WCW, didn't have the impact that WrestleMania did. WrestleMania is the whole league of its own. It's like the granddaddy of them all, as they say.
Stro, when did you start in the business? Were you wrestling actively? And I'm not I don't want to make you older than you are, but were you wrestling actively at the time that WrestleMania was started?
Yeah, well, I was, you know, really young then, of course. I was wrestling collegiately as well as being trained professionally, even though I kind of kept the two separated because, you know, how colleges feels about professional sports, more or less. But,
sure.
I was raised around that, the whole WrestleMania environment, you know, in the old school NWA days, like I mentioned, to, you know, the old WWE, actually WWF, right? And then evolved to WWF, and then we now know as WWE. But, WrestleMania, man, I mean, I was always a big fan growing up in the business. Of the WrestleManias, and not only, I mean, it was like a spectacle. It brought the entertainment world and the wrestling world together in one big extravaganza. So, WrestleMania was always a big hit for me.
Now, we were talking about the announcers, and Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura doing commentary for that show. And today, wrestling is very, very produced. So you have Vince in their headsets, or whoever, Bruce Pritchard maybe it is, in their headsets telling the announcers what to say. So back when you were active, was that as much of a thing as it is today? Was somebody in their ear telling them exactly what to say at all times?
Well, pretty much. But as far as, like, it wasn't as, I guess, controlled. I guess that's what it is now, especially with the promos you see a lot these days. Like, earlier, in the early days, you know, they would just give us a topic and how much time to say that in and let us roll with the topic. And, you know, of course, the camera guys would, you know, give us the countdown to wrap up the promo. Where nowadays, you know, they're literally reading the script for a promo, more or less, and it kind of, I don't know, it kind of takes away from the individuality of the character they're trying to get over on TV. So it's like, you know, like back in the day, you know, you would give more or less the character to have free reign, more or less. The individual have free reign, just give them a topic. Give them like how much time to say in that topic, and let them know when to wrap it up, and let them be. The promos back then were more organic, and I felt like they got across to the people that much better, and got the talent over that much more.
Sure. Well, I mean, don't you think that people were able to be more of a version of themselves? Like, they were coming from what's inside of themselves versus trying to be something that a Hollywood writer's coming up with, right? Isn't that easier to play something that's inside of you?
Absolutely. The best gimmicks and personas of our industry are the ones that are extension of our real life selves. You know, it's just like, You take, for example, you know, The Rock and Stone Cold. You know, they'll take their real-life personalities and just put gasoline on the fire and let them exemplify that much more of a side of their true self, just like The Undertaker. You know, I mean, first day, Mark came and sees Vince, and Vince tells him, he says, "You look like death." And thus The Undertaker was born, and he ran with that. He made that into his own persona. So it's like even the characters – and personas, which I honestly hate to use the word character because the wrestlers live the gimmick 24/7, is what we all do. But like, even when they evolve, the characters that have evolved and made names for themselves in time, they put themselves into their gimmick and persona, and that's how that gets over because the people can identify with that. Like they can identify, like they've know a Triple H in their life. They know a Rock and a Stone Cold and an Undertaker and a Ric Flair in their life and a Hulk Hogan. Even though they're perceived as larger in life, they can identify with someone in their life that pertains to what they come across as. So, I mean, it's all about having that connection with your audience.
Yeah, your great uncle was the great and the legendary Gorgeous George, right? So he was somebody that was able to really get into his character, and that was back in the days of kayfabe. Did he live his character all the way through, outside of the ring, inside the ring? Was that something that was part of his life?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what you saw is when you get with Gorgeous George, man, he was amazing. I mean, he was the first personality in the wrestling business that transcended Hollywood and entertainment and to one. Just like we've talked about the WrestleManias, how they intertwined entertainment and wrestling all together. And I mean, he had all people, all walks of life, pattern themselves after his persona. Like, you know, later on in life, you know, meeting the Muhammad Ali's and the James Browns that tell you how much your great-granduncle influenced them and to being household names. It's really an awesome deal. So, yeah, he was the guy to start it off and pretty much started off for TV wrestling in general and the flamboyancy and the pageantry of that. So you might as well say Gorgeous George was the original WrestleMania, more or less.
Absolutely. He was one of the very first over-the-top characters, certainly. I got to ask you, so your character, when you got to WCW, so you worked in AAA, you worked in the USWA, I think you worked in Smoky Mountain a little bit. You got to work with some great people, certainly legends like Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee. But when you got to WCW, whose idea was that Maestro character? Was that an Eric Bischoff thing, or was that something that you said, I want to pay homage to my uncle and be an over-the-top character?
Well, it was kind of a collaboration of both of us, actually, and along with the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, who was also a big supporter of it, and who's helped me out a lot through the years. Him, Kevin Sullivan, Jake the Snake Roberts, those guys are very instrumental into. We all kind of get together and form our ideas around. There were some ideas that we talked about we were going to do that never transpired due to changes in management constantly at the time. But Maestro was a culmination of things and a part of my real life experience in the theater, which I have theatrical experience in different plays and musicals and all that, and playing musical instruments and so forth, and which my envisionment of the Maestro didn't really come out till later on in my run, where my envisionment was more of a family opera-ish type persona, you know, coming out of the Raptors, playing the piano, having the split personality, if you will, which showed up later on in my WCW run. So, but that was a combination of Eric Bischoff and myself, I'll never forget that night, man. My last tryout match was with Chavo Guerrero Jr., which I couldn't have been any happier because Chavo comes from the Guerrero family, and the Guerrero was always good as gold. We used to pray together for matches. And I remember Forney had a tryout match some months prior in one of the Nitros, and which Hulk Hogan and Macho Man invited me to. And I flew from Puerto Rico at the time. I was with Carlos Colon, and everything went great at the time. But I guess the timing wasn't right, more or less, to come in. So I just kept on doing what I'm doing. I went toward Mexico, AAA, with Jake Snake Roberts. I came back to Texas, and then that's when I got the call for the trial match with Chavo. And which Hogan and Macho Man was a big supporter to the Maestro persona as well. I'm really indebted to them for all their help. And I remember after the match with Chavo, right? Diamond Dallas Page was putting her match over, and a list of talents was, and you had all these agents walking in, right? And all these agents was kind of giving their like critique of the match and saying something different. Each one saying something different. You didn't know who to believe, actually, right? But an old phrase I got from my grandpa years ago was like, always know who the boss is, right? And Eric Bischoff walks in the room. He looks at me and he says, you know, great match. We could use a great talent like you. Welcome aboard. And no sooner as he said that, all the agents changed their tunes like, oh, great match. That was tremendous, right? And I knew right then if I had a problem, Eric was the guy to go to, right? And as soon as I walked out the door, there's Arn Anderson in the line of the boys there waiting to shake my hand, welcome me to the company. It was like, I don't know. It felt – I know it wasn't WrestleMania. I know it wasn't Starrcade. I know it wasn't a Great American Bash before, but it felt like a World Series or Super Bowl, but that moment felt like all that rolled up in one to me. I mean, it was like the greatest feeling ever.
Well, you know, Maestro, you feuded with David Flair, Norman Smiley, Buff Bagwell, Ernest Miller. You worked with some of the greats, and I mean, that's a real legacy. You were on TV every week for, you know, I guess almost 2 years at the hottest time in the business, and I think, you know, looking back, that has to just feel cool.
Oh, it was awesome. You get to travel the world. Like one night you can be in the Rey Mysterio, the other night Roddy Piper or Flair or Hogan. It was pretty awesome. And Jimmy Hart, I know you mentioned earlier, was a big factor in helping me out a lot, especially with him and I only to really know much about music, right? he collaborated with me, sheet music, you know, for the maestro intro and everything. And he was such a great help. And we, you know, we have roots back in Memphis as well. So it was great to talk Memphis wrestling to him and everything. Jimmy Hart was really cool. Scott Hall actually was really cool. I remember when one of my first days in WCW, I'm in the office, right? And I had teamed with Scott Hall in Memphis back when it was Razor Ramon, right? And him and Nash walk in the room, right? He looked, you know, he gets slap on the back. He called me George. You know, he still called me Gordon George. Hey, George, remember we used to beat up Lawler in Memphis? Started laughing. But, great times, man.
Awesome. Well, Stro, listen, I don't want to keep you forever, and I appreciate you jumping in on the very first edition of VOC Nation Wrestling with History. You know, we got thrown a loop with Jimmy Hart and his weather delays. He actually called during the break, by the way, just to let everybody know, and said that he apologized, and he's hopefully going to join us next week. But, Stro, just one final question for you before you leave. AEW is all the rage now. And a lot of fans are excited about just the competition for the WWE. What did you think of the first couple AEW shows? Actually, the first show wasn't AEW. It was just Cody and the Bucks did it on their own. But the second one was AEW. What do you think about AEW? And do they have a chance to compete with World Wrestling Entertainment?
You know, I think the big factor is, you know, time will tell. I mean, they've got the talent. They've got the talent to do it, and they got the big backer and the Khan family. And some heavy hitters. You got Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Dean Ambrose, a.k.a. John Moxley. It's just the talent pool is just tremendous. Now, those are the names in itself. So, I really think if done right and if organized correctly, I think they can do well for themselves. I just – this whole competition thing with the WWE thing, I really hope the AEW doesn't strive to be another WWE as other companies have tried to in the past. Because let's face it, there's only one WWE. Be the best that AEW can be and have your own identity. And I feel if more promotions would have concentrated – on being their own identity, then they'll be more successful. So I wish them all the luck, all the best, and their TV deal, I guess, with TNT, right? Which is,
yep.
Man, talking about things going full circle. You know what I mean? With TNT, I mean, it's amazing. So yeah, it's an exciting time for the wrestlers, for the wrestling fans. I'm really excited how things go going forward this year. Yeah.
Hey, amen. Stro, listen, I want to very, very much thank you for joining us today. You're a great follow on Facebook. I love your posts. Very inspirational. I'm a Christian myself, so love what you do. Do you have a Twitter?
Yes, I do. At thestro.com, T-H-E-S-T-R-O.
At the Stro. And then and you have a show here on the VOC Nation Radio Network. Tell us about that real quick. What day and what time? How can people find you?
Oh, yeah. I'm one of the co-hosts with In the Room podcast every Tuesday night with Brady Hicks, Kathy Fitzpatrick, and Derek McDonald and Matt Grimm. My show, WCW Retro, is on every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we talk about past, present, future, professional wrestling, old school matches, et cetera. A lot of nostalgia. So, if you guys aren't doing anything Thursday night, tune in. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Stro. God bless. Love you to death. And I will talk to you again real soon, okay?
God bless you. Have a great night.
All right, you too. WCW Nitro star Eric the Stro. We came through. We got everybody a guest.
Once again, Bruce, you come through when we need it. I know in the past I might have been in charge of trying to find somebody last minute, so how did you feel about doing that?
You know, that was something, and I got some calls on the board, so I'm not going to make people wait that much longer. But that was something that I thought about, like getting back into this, because I just remember the time that this used to take out of my life. I've been married three times. For anybody that hasn't stayed way to following my life. You know, I have a ton of friends on Facebook still that I have no idea about, never met before. But yeah, this is my third marriage, and I just said I just don't have the time to do this anymore. But one of your biggest, I think we all had different strengths back in the day. Namar was funny, and you know, he was an overwhelming personality. You had Albert that would go talk to anybody. And then you had the wrestling booking business. So, I mean, we had such great guests. We had Mick Foley. We had Jesse. I mean, we had everybody that was anybody back in the day. And I hope to do that again. Maybe we'll figure it out, Eric. We'll get there.
Oh, we'll do it. We'll do it. It might be a little bit different than it's going to be different, but we'll come through.
We'll come through. I'm going to go to the phones. I promised people that I would get to them, and we won't make you wait any longer. 657-383-1666. The first person, this is actually another VOC Nation personality with his own show, and I'll preface this by saying, this guy, I'm not talking about Rat Boy, by the way. I know that's where you think I'm going. But this guy actually saved my life a little bit. You know, I was going through, I might have just gotten married for the second time, but I was also going through my second divorce. I go figure that one out. And I just had no time for VOC Nation, but I had put, Eric, close to six figures of my own money into this network at one time to get it off the ground, to grow the marketing and the social media and be present at all these different events to grow the brand. And I'm like, I just don't want to kill it. I need to do something. And out of the shadows, Brady Hicks was doing his own thing. And he said, listen, I'd love to do it. I'd love to carry the name forward. And this is, I'm going to put him on the air right now. This is the guy that pretty much runs VOC Nation. I'm just a guest in his network now. Brady, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Man, I that's really nice of you to say. I mean, I'm happy to continue the tradition. There's a very strong lineage there and everything. I'm just honored to be a part of it all, really.
Brady, you I remember that conversation because, you know, I feuded with everybody back in the day. I feuded with Eric. I feuded with Namar. I feuded with a guy named James Gore. I feuded with Virgil. I think everybody's feuded with Virgil. Joey Styles hated me for a little bit. Stevie Richards. The list goes on and on and on. But, you know, I think you and I did evil stare downs at every convention up and down the Mid-Atlantic for a whole year. And so it was pretty cool when we got back together in 2014 and we figured out how to put our stuff together and make one big network. And I think it's great. I think I'm so happy that it's continued to stay on, and I'm really excited to be back. I just have a lot of fun doing this. And I love being back with Eric, who, again, I was feuding with at the time that I left. Go figure.
Right. It's just the whole thing for me, like, it just feels like the good intentions are there, you know, like the good feelings are there again. It's like we're not doing this. Well, we're certainly not doing it for money. We're not doing it because of some agenda or to try and get big or anything like that. We're doing it because we enjoyed doing it for so long, you know. And I feel like when that's your motivation, you can't go wrong. So I'm thrilled to have you back. I really am, both of you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah.
On your own network. Yeah, no problem.
I like to consider myself a silent benefactor these days.
Well, it's like I said, it is truly a pleasure. We had so many great memories, and I know because I've listened to so many of those old shows, which are now kind of they've been taken offline, at least temporarily, just so we can evaluate some of the stuff that we used to say and do when we were younger. But it really was a great time.
So Eric, you know, I was talking to Brady offline, and you know, I have a big job these days. I had a big job back then too. I was just ballsier. But I said to Brady, I said, you know, some of the stuff I used to say 10 years ago probably wouldn't be a good idea today. you know, we had adult entertainers on the air. There's just a lot of stuff that I probably don't want. Now people are going to look for it, of course. But I said, we should take that down. I don't think I want to take a chance.
So I guess that means the old Just Guys show is long gone, huh? Because that show, of if anything, was way probably inappropriate if we listen to it now.
You know, I played just the intro for my wife a little bit ago when I was coming through. Because, you know, I used to enjoy putting together audio, and I was making the intro for this show, making some of the commercial packages. And I said, hey, honey, listen to this. And I think, you know, and I can say this because I can say foul language because we're on the Internet. It's not like the old AM radio days. But Cunnilingus and Fellatio were both within 5 seconds of each other on the same audio clip. And she's like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't do that anymore. Yep.
There are worse words that you could have used, though. So give yourself credit for that.
Correct. But I'm a Christian now, and I don't want any part of that old stuff. We're still going to have fun, but we're not going to be quite as crude as we were in the old days.
Well, I think there's a lot to be excited about. I know that there are a lot of old-time listeners to VOC Nation from back in 2012, 2013, 2014 that have kind of gone away. You know, they miss some of the old personalities that used to be part of the website. I'm hoping this is an opportunity to be a homecoming for people that the sheep that have gone astray. You know, there's a biblical reference right there, the sheep that have gone astray.
There we go. Well, Brady and Eric, next week I hope to have right here on the air with us a blast from the past. Not Namar, because we know when Namar is involved, everything goes to hell. Literally, everybody starts fighting with each other. It's just not a good situation. But Albert has agreed to be back with us, Eric, anytime that he gets a chance. He's a very busy guy. You know, he worked at TNA for a while, or Impact Wrestling, whatever it's called now. Albert will be back in the saddle with us, and I think that'll be a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. As long as I haven't talked with you or done radio, it's been that long with Albert. Now I cannot wait to get a chance to speak to Albert and hear him, because just that opening montage you have when you call Albert a freeloader brought back so many funny memories. So many funny moments came back into my memory that I haven't thought about in probably 10 years, but it was fantastic. I can't wait. That's awesome.
You know, back in the day, and Brady, I'll let you go in a second, but I just want to – and we're way off topic from WrestleMania, so we're just going to blow this show up. And, you know, we had Stro. We'll do WrestleMania next week. I'm making this change on the fly. We'll do WrestleMania next week when we have Jimmy in the saddle. But the last of it with Albert for me was – I forget the year. It might have been 2012 or 13, but we had – the VOC Nation gave a trip to WrestleMania. Do you remember this, Brady?
Yes.
We were on 13.
I do, 16, for all the wrong reasons, yeah.
For all the wrong reasons. We were on WNJC 1360 in Philadelphia, and we gave a trip to WrestleMania to the best caller. At the time, Malcolm Wildman, Malcolmania, who I think still calls into some of the shows here. Crazy guy. I have about 72 voicemails that he's left me over the years. I saved them just in case the FBI is ever looking to find my dead body somewhere. I'm just kidding. I know Malcolm's brother's a listener. I'm just messing around. But Malcolm won, and Albert and I did the trip, and we took him to WrestleMania. And then Eric Bischoff was a friend of the show at the time, so Eric got us backstage at TNA. And so my point is, Albert and I started in Miami. I paid for his airfare and his meal ticket, and we drove up the coast. We went to Vero Beach. We went to Orlando. And I think I was like thousands of dollars into Albert was thousands of dollars into debt with me. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're such a freeloader. And the rift just kept separating and separating. And I still think he owes me a couple thousand dollars. So maybe now that we're working together again, I can get it back.
I would not count on that, man.
I don't think so either. But, you know, looking back, he's a lovable guy, and I really do miss working with him. He was such a fan of the business, and he brought an intensity and a passion for all kinds of wrestling that I think none of us had. Like, he loved the independence, and he was willing to do and talk to anybody. And I think people that don't know Albert or haven't listened to Albert will love hearing his perspective, and maybe we'll get back on the road someday. I got a baby and a third wife now, but you know, you never know. You never say never.
Listen, the best thing about Albert was bringing him. You found yourself wanting to bring him to events for no other reason than you knew in a moment if you needed to get to somebody or you wanted to get something done, and you weren't very comfortable doing it, you knew Albert would do it.
Next week, when we have Jimmy Hart on the show, we will tell the story of Albert, Jimmy, and me traveling like 10 hours in a car across the state of Pennsylvania into Ohio through a hurricane. It's a story. If you haven't heard it before, you don't want to miss it. And then I also want to say that all the bumpers that you hear when you have a performer that says, you know, you're listening to VOC Nation, it's probably Albert recording that with a device in his hand like 10 years ago. So we owe a lot to that little guy.
He was fantastic.
But Brady, listen, thanks again. I love the fact that you were able to give us some time. All kidding aside, I mean, whoever pays for this shit, who cares? You still run it. It's your network. You've kept it alive. You're doing a great job, and I really appreciate everything you've done.
All the best, guys. Seriously, I can't wait to continue to listen and check out what you guys have coming up in the weeks and hopefully months to come, maybe years to come. Who knows?
I'm committed, Brady. I'm not going to – you know, remember I used to tease quitting all the time? I promise I won't do it for at least a year.
Well, there you have it.
I love playing that song, though, that Tell Me a Lie song. It just works.
Well, thanks so much for having me on tonight, and best of luck with everything, guys. I'll talk to you real
soon.
Thanks,
Brady.
Thanks, Brady.
Bye-bye.
All right, Eric, again, it's 657-383-1666. That's how people get in. And nice to hear from the people of the past, right?
Yeah, this is kind of like going to a class reunion. That's what it feels like.
Well, you want to hear from you know, the class clown of the class reunion? You want me to go to an old friend of ours, an old caller, an old stalker, whatever you want to call him?
Yeah, you know what? I'm shocked to know that he's on the line, so I say go for it.
From the sewers of New Jersey, I'm going to go to Rat Boy. Rat Boy, you're in the VOC Nation Radio Network. What's up, man?
There you go.
What is going on, Rat Boy? What is that? What was that?
I'm saying stand back from Vic McMahon.
Oh, stand back. Eric,
stand
he dug
back.
It up. He's got it.
Well done, Rat Boy. Well done.
I know, because I got the album. Woo!
Oh.
Power driver.
Rat Boy, what have you been up to, man? I haven't talked to you in so long.
Oh, man, just sitting here getting old. I just turned 55 this year. I'm a double nickel now, baby, and I'm a senior citizen.
Boy.
Woo!
Did you have your AARP card?
I got everything. I'm set.
Rat Boy, let me ask you a question. I know you still watch the current product. What's the difference, man? What do you feel is the reason that the current product, why do wrestling fans complain about it a whole lot more than they used to maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
One thing, they always got the same matches every week.
Okay, give me more. Come on, give me something.
All right, and plus, on SmackDown, when you watch SmackDown, when they go to the commercial break, they put that little little screen up there so you can watch it. Come on now. You know, right in the middle of a match, a commercial on. Come on. I hate that.
Well, it's better than when they used to just cut the match in half. They just leave the match all together. At least now they let you watch it.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, SmackDown is getting ridiculous. That's why I don't watch it that much.
Rep,
I
were
go
you
up to the screen and watch the little screen before it turns big again.
Did you watch AEW All In, Rat Boy?
No, not yet. I didn't get a chance to yet. I've been so busy.
It's not that you can't afford the pay-per-view, right?
No, I got the network and all. I get my pay-per-view event on the network. I pay for my network.
Oh, that's the WWE network, Rat Boy. I'm talking about AEW's All In. That's not on the WWE network. I don't care what Vince Russo says.
No. I am going to get it pretty soon. You know, right now, you know, I've been working here and there, you know.
You're working. You're a working man.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
Rat Boy.
You know, I do Columbus every Thursdays and Sundays. With a buddy of mine. We sell stuff.
What's do Columbus? What's that mean?
Oh, the Columbus.
We do Columbus Farmers Market.
Farmers Market. Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah,
I'm down
there
every weekend.
You guys live near each other, right? You're both in the great state of New Jersey.
Yeah, he's south.
Eric, maybe. What are you doing?
No.
During the time that Columbus market is up?
I'm probably busy with my kids' baseball or something like that.
No, I think that you guys should do that together.
Oh, no. I think that's a reunion that I'm okay with missing. You
Rat
know,
boy.
You get Malcolm on the phone or something like that, but this is as close as I need to be to Rat Boy. This is good. We're good right here on the phone like this.
We talked about Malcolm's trip to WrestleMania. There was a time, Eric, and this is I don't know when we started working together, but this is like definitely in the WNJC days. We did a trip to Atlanta for I forget the name of the convention, but Rat Boy went on the trip with us. We drove in a pickup truck, and it was a crazy event. I think that was I started a feud with Namar back then. But Rat Boy was literally in the back of the pickup truck while it was.
I still got it.
I think I came aboard not too long after that, because I remember stories from that. So I feel like I joined the show sometime around soon after that event.
Namar and I almost came to blows in a Waffle House in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia.
Over Rat Boy.
Rat Boy, what else you got on your mind?
I got to plug in something for you guys. All right. It's about on July 13th. I'll be in Riverton for Crossroad Wrestling. I'll be there in the ring, as you know, for Christmas in July. It's for a girl who got cancer. You know, it's at the Scary Heart Gym.
You're still getting in the ring at these indie shows. Didn't you get like a broken foot or something like that, or a leg getting in there?
I'm not wrestling. I'm just going to be, announcing a couple people, and that's it.
All right, but I bet they could talk you into doing something again.
No. I'm done finished with that. Because these people won't let me around ring, but they're going to put me in the ring for the first time in years, because a lot of people have been asking about me. They haven't seen me since the accident, and I'm going to be there at Crossroads Wrestling.
July 13th.
Yep.
And this is an independent promotion. Who's the where do they run out of, you said? Riverton?
Riverton, New Jersey.
Is that where at? Give me the address.
I'm not sure the address, but it's a Scary Heart Gym in Riverton.
Okay. All right. Everybody find the Scary Heart Gym in Riverton, New Jersey. You'll get to see Rat Boy back in the wrestling ring. And I remember once upon a time ago, he broke his collarbone, shattered it. He got choke slammed, and he should have never been in the ring, Rat Boy.
That's what I knew. He broke something. Thank you for.
Yeah.
I could not remember what it was.
Put it this way, I took the fan level a notch that year.
I have no idea what you just said, but I'm sure it was clear.
I don't either.
All right, let me put it this way, okay? Who's the longest person on the VOC Nation?
It's got to be you. You've been through and through.
That's right. I've been here since the start, and I'm going to keep on going till it dies. I'm a living legend of this station.
Thanks for the call, Rat Boy, okay?
And one more thing. All right? If you guys want to call Bruce and Eric, the number is 1-657-383. 1-666. Oh, yeah. We're out of here.
I'm going to save that. Thanks, Rat Boy. Have a good one, man. Well, we got our first recorded bumper, Eric. We got the phone number.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, that's a bumper right there. Absolutely.
Let's take a commercial break and regroup after that. Does that sound like a good idea?
Absolutely.
Well, he gave the number, but in case you missed it or you can't translate rat, I used to be able to do that pretty well, by the way. I just, I'm a little rusty. It's 657-383-1666, 657-383-1666. This is VOC Nation Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Live from the In the Room studios, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, I'm the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews, insightful blogs, and, of course, the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program. And lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
This is a very special VOC Wrestling moment.
Ox Baker sings a song for the VOC Wrestling Nation.
The VOC Nation said, Ox, when you gonna quit wrestling? I said, you better listen to me. I'm never gonna stop this wrestling business till the big man upstairs counts to three. I've got the old time, I've got the old time, I got the old time wrestling blues.
The music stylings of Ox Baker, let's hear it!
You just listened to a very special VOC Wrestling Moment. Tune in on Wednesdays at VOCNation.com.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013, as voted by the Courier Times, Duncan School of Driving specialists in teenage driver training. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident free. 215-639-1990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, the Duncan School of Driving, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. The voice of choice here. Are you looking for a videographer for your event? Maybe a wedding, party, company video? Well, listen, Metro Media Studios is focused on providing high-quality service and customer satisfaction, and they'll do everything they can to meet your needs. They got a variety of services to choose from. They'll make sure that you get the professionally produced video of your dreams. MetroMediaStudios.com. That's Metro with an A, MediaStudios.com. Check them out today.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
VOC Nation Radio Network, VOC Nation Wrestling with History. worldwide. We're here every Wednesday evening or night, whatever you want to call it, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The voice of choice back in the saddle with Wrestling Marks, Eric. And Eric, are you having a good time? Our first hour is in the books.
It's almost like we never left in a way. I know it's got its clunks and its bumps and bruises in it, but overall, it feels really good to be back, man. I'm really having a good time.
Yeah, and, you know, I was listening back to some of the old stuff we did back in the day, and you know, we talked about it earlier, but we've had everybody on this network, and I think that when you and me and Albert, and I love Namar, I think Namar and I had good on-air chemistry, and we were friends for a long time, still are friends, but I think
you guys were
great
on air together.
Yeah, but I think you, me, and Albert had the best shows. Like those were the shows that people tuned in to listen to. We had great guests. We had a good dynamic between each other, and I think it's tough to do that. It's tough to create magic like that.
Absolutely, and it's funny that because when I joined the VOC, I didn't really want to be too big a part of it. I was in it to help out, get you guys guests and see if we could make things work for both of us, you know, to get your business, you know, rolling. And I was trying to get Wrestling Marks going. And you and Namar were fantastic together. You guys were so good together. I just would sit there and listen to you guys go back and forth. The chemistry was amazing, but I think it was less of a wrestling show at times.
Yeah. It was more like a variety show kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. With a lot of inside stuff that sometimes some people weren't privy to. But Namar was a very funny guy. Great
yeah.
sense of humor, quick.
Yeah,
very
absolutely. But that year or 2 years, or maybe it was 3 years, where I think it was me, you, and Albert, maybe of 2012 through 14, we just had great success. And I think we had a show. I was looking back through the numbers of the old stuff, and we had shows that had 100,000 downloads plus, which I think a lot of today's professional podcasters would still even love to get.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is we were doing it at a time where we had to really, I don't want to say beg, but we had to do some convincing to get guests to come on a podcast, and I'm going to air quote that podcast because when we were doing it, it was not what it is today,
right?
Where it's the socially accepted medium that everybody seems to use now. When we were doing it, it was, I don't want to say it was brand new, but it was either they wanted to do a radio show or nothing. Like, they're like, oh, you're a podcast. You know, it was, you had to tell them, hey, look, this is how many listeners we're getting and this and that. You want to come on? It will get you the word out about you and stuff like that. And it's pretty incredible to think about. I was thinking about that today, that we did quite well for a podcast that was in the infancy of this medium.
Every one of our shows were covered on all the major sites, including Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer, Wade Keller. I mean, everything was covered. So it was so hard to do that back in the day. And I think we can recreate some of that magic. And even though I think you and I were talking, or maybe it was Brady off air, but I was saying, I feel like back then, guests would come on because they wanted to get their message out, and it wasn't readily available like it is today. Now I feel like so many people, so many old school wrestlers have their own show. They have their own podcast.
Yeah.
So you can hear them all the time. But I think we can dig in some obscure people and get them to come on, and we can talk then versus now. I think we could still do that.
Yeah, I still have a few people in my contacts that I keep in touch with that, you know, I think will definitely come on for us and be really good to have on the show. And I'll honestly I'm even thinking about, I'm willing to kind of contact people that I haven't spoken to in years out of the blue, just because nobody's heard from them in a while. So maybe they want to, you know, do something and be heard again.
I love it. And, you know, we didn't do WrestleMania today. We started it, but we really went off the rails because Jimmy could not make it. And again, for those of you tuning in that weren't tuning in earlier, Jimmy Hart was not able to join us. There were some storms that came through the Orlando area, affected his travel, and he just wasn't in a good position where he could call us and dedicate the time. So Jimmy agreed to come on. We're going to try to do it next week, but we're going to save the WrestleMania 1 show for when Jimmy's on with us. We had the show on earlier, so make sure if you did not hear that live, go back, check out the podcast. And I think it was a great interview. He gave some good insight to his run. But, you know, every week, Eric, we're going to try to do something different. We're going to talk about a different topic, and we're going to bring on, hopefully, somebody that was part of the experience back then. And I won't lie, I got this idea. I love what Conrad Thompson and Bruce Pritchard do with Something to Wrestle. You know, I'm not saying we're copying them, but I'm taking that idea of taking a single topic and then trying to relive it through the eyes of somebody that was there. That to me is very compelling radio.
We discussed this off the air. I think it's a great idea. And I enjoy Conrad and Bruce Pritchard's show. I mean, that's what makes that so compelling is Bruce Pritchard was so inside for whatever the topics that they're talking about. He was so inside that you're learning things you've never heard before and getting inside in details that you've never heard before. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's very compelling. So, I mean, there's no competition these days because these days nobody listens to radio. You just plug a podcast on in your car, and there's plenty of stuff to go around if you drive any distance every day to go to work. So, check that out. It's good stuff, and we're gonna try to do some of that here. Take people back in time, and then also on the second hour of the show, compare it with what's going on today. And Eric, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but today's product it's very scripted, but it's also, I think what's also missing is they don't tell a story in the ring. I think it's moves just to hit moves, and every match is just spot after spot after spot to a finish. And at least for me, the finishing move back in the day, like when somebody hit it, you knew it was over. And if somebody kicked out, it was a special moment. But how many times do we see every week, Eric, somebody kicking out of a finisher? It's like a regular occurrence on Raw.
Yeah. I admit to this, the false finish can be very exciting. It used to be WrestleMania was reserved for the false finish. To your point, now they're doing it on Raw and SmackDown, and it's not the same. And like I said, finishes. What I find funny is Shawn Michaels used to do Sweet Chin Music, right?
Right.
Now everybody does. Everybody, it seems like, does a super kick. And none of those guys' super kick is a finisher. Why is that?
Right? Well, think about the DDT is another one. Jake Roberts, DDT.
Yep.
It was over.
Yep.
And now you might see three DDTs in the same match by both guys.
They'll do it outside the ring on to guys, and they get up.
Pile drivers, power bombs. Power bomb was another move that was just devastating. Sid Vicious, when he hit a power bomb, the match was over, and the guy might be injured.
Over.
Today, you might see a couple power bombs, like from the top rope in the same match. It's crazy.
Yeah, it definitely the finisher. You know, I don't even know if they use. If you pay attention, I bet they don't even use the word finisher anymore on WWE television. Because nothing really is a finisher anymore. Like you said, I'm just thinking about different guys in there and quote-unquote finisher and how many times it's been kicked out of or you know, two or three tombstone pile drivers at WrestleMania. I get it. That's exciting.
Right.
You know, we want to you want to see that. But at that, you take that terrible match that Goldberg and Undertaker. We don't need to discuss that. It's been talked ad nauseum. But you take that just as an example. How many spears? You know, why isn't one good enough once in a while? It's gotta be the finisher's got to be the finisher more times than it's not, and it's not like that anymore.
Sure, and I think what also used to happen back in the day is you'd have those squash matches with enhancement talent every week on the Saturday
right.
morning shows to really build up the finisher. Like that whole squash match was about showing off the finisher so that when that character or that wrestler went on a bigger show, Saturday night's main event or a pay-per-view, that finisher was a devastating part of the match and you knew it was over. So do you think that the lack of squash matches, who loved those back then and we'd probably complain if they happen now, but does that take away from character development?
In a way, I think you make a good point. It does take away. I'm not going to lie. I don't miss them. I think of guys like Frankie Williams and SD Jones, and they were famous for getting beat week after week after week after week, and it had a purpose. And I think in today's wrestling, they still do it from time to time. You see them bring out when they get a new tag team or something like that, and they introduce some. You know, they have them wrestling two local indie guys and it just doesn't work, I think, anymore because it's just so one-sided that people don't connect with it at all. Even though there is a purpose behind it, I just don't think they connect with it anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only thing that it just goes back to my original point. I just think the squash matches help to show off the finisher, to develop the character, and really build the overall picture. And now it's like, you know, it's just kind of moves. And they finish the match with whatever they finish with. It's not always a finisher these days. Maybe that's good or bad, but there's no real story. And I think that takes away from the product. And I hope AEW is able to bring some of that back to the table. Not the squash matches, but the story.
Well, if you Dustin and Cody told the story, don't you think? I mean, that match, that was old school.
Absolutely.
That reminded me of watching like Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes, that kind of storytelling. I mean, that was an incredible match all the way to the end. I mean, I had goosebumps. I was totally into that match all the way through. And then when Cody's talking about, you know, I don't need a partner, I need my brother. That was it. You couldn't have ended that match, that whole situation any better. It was so old school. It was fantastic. And WWE doesn't have that anymore.
That brought emotion back to it. I mean, you felt that. And I agree
right.
with you because it's like they try to build stories where it's just one thing happens one week and they have a match and then, you know, it's kind of forgotten about. I just think I don't know. It's just it's like watching, I don't know, Tales from the Dark Side where one week doesn't lead to the next sometimes. I can't pretend that I watch it every week, but when I do, when I watch the big events, you know, I watch a WrestleMania or I watch the WWE Network specials sometimes, it just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of chemistry in the ring and that the match is about something.
Yeah. Well, you know, do you watch NXT's takeovers?
I have, and that's a better product. By far, that's a better product. But then they bring those
Absolutely.
Guys up to the main roster, and it falls apart. Like, they kill the guy.
Falls apart. Right. And NXT reminds me of old school wrestling, the wrestling that I grew up enjoying. They tell stories that take weeks and weeks of buildup, and it's constantly building up. They don't – everything – in the WWE because of the monthly I'm going to say pay-per-views, network specials, I feel like they have to jam everything in there, and it feels that way. It feels rushed. There's no time to let things develop and happen organically. Everything's pushed at us. Nothing just kind of happens. It's all, I mean, the Kofi Kingston thing, I guess, is that happened. That was pretty organic. I mean, who saw that coming?
Sure.
All of a sudden he's, you know, that. So, I mean, it can still happen, but it doesn't happen enough. They don't allow things to grow naturally. If a guy's going to be a heel, let him be a heel. If the crowd doesn't like him, then make him a heel. Why keep him as a babyface if nobody likes him?
Well, and that's it kind of leads me to – I mean, has Vince McMahon lost it? Has Vince McMahon lost his way? I mean, the guy's 70-some years old now, and to me, I think that he might have just lost touch with what people want to see.
I think that's absolutely the case. Just look at the comparison, WWE show. You take WrestleMania, the last WrestleMania versus – and NXT TakeOver, NXT TakeOver is a better show. From top to bottom, it's a better show. And it's 3 hours shorter.
Well, that's
three
the understatement
shorter.
Of the year. that's another topic altogether. You know, your seven-hour
right.
WrestleMania where the New Jersey Transit Department is ready to murder somebody at WWE.
Unbelievable. It's just too much. But I mean, so you have Triple H who's running NXT, right? That's from what they say. Vince has nothing to do with NXT as far as any of the talent part of it. You know, he doesn't do any booking. He doesn't do any of the, he doesn't have any say in what goes on there. I mean, I guess if he wants to, he does, but he doesn't get involved. And it's so much better. Their weekly show is an hour. And that 1 hour, three matches, is better than Raw or SmackDown. And it's not a coincidence. I really don't think it's a coincidence. I thought maybe in the beginning it was. I don't think so anymore because think of the turnover the NXT roster has constantly. And they still continue to succeed no matter who they bring in.
Sure. No, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I can't pretend that I watch it regularly like you do, and I think my value to this show is going to be more of the old stuff. Although I promise the people that I will do my homework and I will watch the product more regularly. But I agree with you. I think it's very tough to have a 3-hour show every week where you can keep the audience through that show, and I think that the character development suffers because you're not able to tell consistent stories. And you know, in the old days you might have had somebody on TV once a month you know, maybe they were on weekly to do the squash matches and build character, but now you have like main event matches every week. And I don't know, it's just tough to do that, and it's tough to do that with a roster for 3 hours and make people continue to care. So to your point, I think the shorter shows really cause you to work hard and put it together right, and you know you're not overextending the talent. I'm trying to figure out the best way to put it, but you're not just putting stuff on just to put it on.
Exactly, you're not filling time with segments that I gotta say I scratch my head and go, what was the purpose of that segment? You know, what is
right.
that? Where's that going? What am I supposed to think about after that segment? They do that quite often, especially with the 3-hour show. It's. I mean, I love wrestling. I enjoy it. I still watch it, but I just think sometimes too much of something is a bad thing, and I think that might be the case with the WWE right now.
And what do you think about this? So they did the brand split so that you had more of the feel of two separate brands, and, you know, you're splitting up the roster. So, you know, I guess most of it's for their travel. So they don't all have to travel during this for the same grueling schedule like they might have in the 80s and 90s. But, you know, conceivably you have two separate sets of storylines. And now they started this whole wild card scenario where five guys can come to Raw any week. Does that even make sense to you? Like,
no.
I saw it when they did it. Yeah, and Vince, like, it was four, and then it turns into five, and it seems so weak the way they put it all together. And what's the point of a brand split when really any week any five guys could come from one to the other? I mean, it just, to me, it just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make – all it is a way for them to validate having Roman Reigns on both shows and having Kofi Kingston on both shows. And, you know, your top guys are going to go on both shows so that they can – they think somehow that's going to draw sell tickets by basically going, ooh, I wonder who's going to show up from SmackDown this week. Or, I mean, it doesn't do anything for me to have that thought, but it might be something that some fans are interested in. But it's just it reeks of desperation. That's what I think.
Do you think that they're making a big mistake by not turning Roman Reigns heel?
I think it's too late now to do it. Now it would look like they're doing it instead of when they could have done it because the fans wanted them to do it. I think it would have worked because then the fans would have just really hated him. I think the cancer thing or leukemia, was it?
Yeah,
leukemia.
Yeah.
I think that has made him given him a free pass for a while. I think that's going to be on people's minds. Turning him heel would just – I don't know if it just doesn't seem like it would work right now.
No, I agree with you. But I think that they waited way too long because now people are in kind of a state of apathy about Roman Reigns. So they feel bad. They don't want to hate on him because of the cancer thing. But, you know, he's not – I guess he's got what it takes to be a top star, but I think the way they handled him, they have him in this state where he might never recover. I mean, he might never ever get back to that level. And all they had to do back when he was at the top of the card was just have him go full heel, and he would have had more heat than anybody on that card. And he would have been a big star. Look, the Rock did it. That's how the Rock became what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was a heel, and then he was a likable heel. Yep.
I think any great, if you think about the great wrestlers over time that you've really, the guys you've really, characters you've really gotten into and enjoyed, they've all done both. If you think,
sure.
I mean, when I think about it, they've all done both. And when a guy gets kind of stuck in one, especially as a babyface, I think that's a kiss of death. When you're stuck in babyface, people want to dislike. I feel like it, at least in today's world, people want to dislike. So it's very hard for them to like. And if you become a babyface for too long, they're just going to start not liking you. It's just natural. So I think it's a natural course of wrestling where you have to be almost a revolving door. Every so often you've got to turn. You've got to go heel just to change things up because that's what the fans they want. Or they don't even necessarily want it, but it's just it's what needs to happen for that character to remain fresh.
The greats all did it, Eric. Randy Savage went back and forth. Hulk Hogan certainly famously went back and forth. The greats all did it. The Rock, I mentioned him before. Yeah. Dallas Page went back and forth. Ric Flair.
Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton,
and now,
Triple H, HBK. They've all done it.
But it's such – now it's like such a business thing to not do it. Like I've heard John Cena, his reason that he didn't do it. And by the way, I think he could have extended his career five good years and not have – been overexposed on TV. They could have drugged that out and really made an impact with it, no pun intended. But you know, John Cena said, I didn't want to disappoint the kids. I have all the Make-A-Wish. And it's like, but so did all those people back then. Who was bigger in Make-A-Wish than Hulk Hogan? And he still did it because it was good for the business. And, you know, kids get over it. Their parents can tell them it's TV. It's not, ultimately, it's not real. But you're entertaining
right.
people. And it's just something, I think they missed the boat. It's a shame.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about something. What do you think, based on today's wrestling with the scripts and all that stuff, is there any way that Stone Cold or The Rock could happen in today's wrestling?
Yeah, I think possibly, and, you know, we'll talk about this more in the coming weeks with AEW, I think that could certainly happen. But in the WWE, I've heard from some of the people on the inside that they're not interested in having one star. They don't want anybody
right.
to be bigger than their brand. And I think that hurts it because there's nobody like, it's like a whole bunch of lukewarm water. You know, there's nothing super hot,
yeah.
nothing super cold. It's all just stuff that they put together. And I think it hurts. And I hope that there is, Eric. I hope that someday they go back to trying to run the company and center it around a couple of A players. But today, I don't think until Vince McMahon breathes his last breath, I'm not sure that'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it would happen. It just doesn't seem like it even could happen because it goes back to allowing things to happen organically. Stone Cold was a heel. But all of a sudden,
yeah.
they started cheering for him, and he was going against Vince's top babyface at the time, Bret Hart. So what'd they do? They did the smartest thing they could have done. In one match, they switched him. I mean, when you think about how brilliant that was to have two wrestlers at the top of the company switch, babyface and heel, in the same match. I don't even think they have writers capable of putting something like that together in today's WWE. I really don't.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Bruce Pritchard is obviously, I mean, he was around 1987 through, I think, 2007. He was around for 20 years, served a lot of different purposes, but mainly he was the guy that wrote most of it. Even during the Vince Russo era, Bruce Pritchard was involved, admittedly, by both parties. And when I heard that Bruce was going back, I was kind of excited and kind of unexcited at the same time. Because, you know, Bruce Pritchard, while I think he's a gifted person putting together TV, he also gave us things like Mantar and T.L. Hopper, the wrestling plumber, and Doink the Clown. I mean, he's a cartoonish, he's got that cartoonish creative mind. But maybe with Bruce Pritchard back in the fold, there will be more emphasis on telling stories that are relatable to the public. Because I think the Hollywood people that they have writing the scripts now are just not relatable. And maybe Pritchard will help get characters that are more part of who that wrestler is, you know? Like bringing the character out of the wrestler instead of putting a character into the wrestler, if that's a good way to say it.
That is a great way to say it. That's exactly what it is. And there's still a few guys that come out on television that you can see that they're right there. They're almost letting them be themselves, but it's almost as if there's like a rope tied around their waist, and you can just see it get yanked every so often where they just can't quite be themselves. And the guy who I think is like that is Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Kevin Owens is a heel. Just leave him alone. Let him be a heel. He's going to be disliked. He can easily make you dislike him. He's very good at it. And you can see that they almost let him get to where he was, which was at the top of the company. But all of a sudden now they're like, we're not going to let you go that far. So we're going to have a little humor with you. And I think that's the kiss of death in today's professional wrestling. If you show that you have any type of sense of humor, quick wit, they put that into your character and you're doomed.
Yeah.
You're doomed. You know, and that's something that actually Moxley, Dean Ambrose, I it's hard to call him Moxley, John Moxley, but that's what he said in that with his Chris Jericho interview, was when he showed that he had a sense of humor, things they started writing for him got more and more silly. And
you told me to listen to that. I sorry to cut in there, but you told me to listen to that, and I did. I went back and listened, and that was one of my favorite interviews of all time. And just like the way that he said, you know, I told him I'm not going to do it. That's stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. Just awesome. Sorry, keep going, but I just wanted to say I did go back and listen.
No, I was done. But can you imagine? I empathize with someone. Can you imagine going? It sucks if you have to go to work every day and do something you don't want to do. But imagine you have to go and do it in front of 20,000 people plus however many million or, you know, viewers are watching. That's got to be tough. It's got to be tough. And it just depends on your what you care more about, I guess, if you care more about money or your integrity. I don't know how else to put it. But his interview just brought so many things to light that I had never really thought about. But I mean, when you think about it, somebody's writing for you. That's got to be tough. I never really gave that much thought, but having somebody that doesn't know you writing for you, putting words in your mouth. That's not a wrestler. It's like we said earlier in the show. That's an actor.
Yeah, you might as well just get stuntmen. I mean, at this point in the game for WWE, just get stuntmen and trained actors and hire them to do the wrestling dance in the ring. I mean, they just don't want wrestling. They want sports entertainment. And I think what's going to happen is as AEW on TNT gets bigger and bigger and gets going, the WWE is going to lose not just their audience on TV, but they're going to lose people going to live events, and people are going to really tell them and make a statement that they want wrestling. That's what fans are. They're wrestling fans.
And nothing will change with WWE until they stop showing up to shows. And I don't mean like you have to boycott shows, but when they start taking hits at their house shows and they're only selling half the seats, things like that, that's when they're going to be forced to make changes. At least I would think they'd be forced to make changes. Because, I mean, as of right now, they're still so incredibly successful. I mean, they're making money hand over fist that they can do whatever they want.
Well, and that network, I mean, they have the deal from Fox. They got the re-up from USA. So they're set money-wise for a couple of years. They got the WWE Network, which they'll always have fans paying for that because people like the old content as much as they do the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric, I think over time, you know, the business will start to erode and they'll feel it. And I guess traditionally, to me, that's the only time that Vince McMahon reacts. I mean, he had to near go bankrupt in 1996 before he stopped putting on T.L. Hopper, the wrestling plumber,
right,
and Alex the Pug Porto, and that kind of stuff. I mean, he really had to be scared to death before he changed his ways.
And what amazes me about, and there's nobody who can answer this except Vince, but what I can't understand is if you know that the best business, best time in your business was when you allowed guys to do things more their way and gave them the freedom to create, be more creative and do things that allowed them to get over and work. Why would you stifle all of that? But, you know, I mean, that to me is just that it's his ego. He wants to, it's got to be his way or no way. It's got to be his guys doing what he tells them to do or nothing. I mean, what else could it be?
Yeah, and that's where I come back to. Until the day that Vince McMahon breathes his last breath, we might never see a change. And maybe when Triple H and Stephanie do take over the business, I mean, that's probably the way it's headed. maybe that's when things will start to improve and Raw will kind of look and feel more like NXT.
That would be great. I mean, because I tell you, if I haven't made it clear already, I'm a huge fan of NXT. Actually, I make sure I watch that every week more than I do anything else wrestling-wise. I watch NXT. And actually, even NXT UK is better than what we get on Raw and SmackDown. They're both, you know, and I'm just learning those guys. They're all brand new to me practically. So, but it's still better.
Well, I will definitely check it out and be more prepared and educated on the current product as well in the coming weeks. Anytime I just don't have to see Baron Corbin, I think I'm happy.
Oh, amen to that. Although, in a way, that's kind of a good thing that you dislike him that much, right?
Right.
I guess that means
right.
he's doing
his job, right? He's a heel.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's more the heel I want to turn off the TV.
Yeah.
Yes.
True.
All right, Eric, we got through our first show. We had to take a complete left turn and go a complete different direction. We covered a lot of topics, but I think this was a good broad show to kind of give people a sense of who we are and what we'll give to them in the future. And next week, I hope to do WrestleMania 1 with Jimmy Hart. If not, stay tuned to Twitter because we'll let you know what we have coming up for the topic as the time draws closer. And again, you can follow me at Bruce VOC. You can follow the network at VOC Nation. And Eric will get his Twitter together, and we'll roll that out
together
next week.
Sorry, I wasn't prepared for that, man. It's been honestly that long. I go on once in a while, but I don't really tweet anymore. But maybe I'll have to start getting involved again.
Well, Eric, this was fun, a lot of fun, and we got through the first 2 hours of our journey together again. So thank you. Thanks for coming back in the fold and being part of this. I'm really excited, and we were both on the same page at the same time. That was kind of weird when I reached out to you.
Yeah. I'm really glad you did. If you believe in, like, thing, you know, signs and the cosmic realm and things like that, I mean, this, you know, it seems like right place, right time right now, and I'm really looking forward to doing more shows. Can't wait.
We'll keep doing it as long as it's fun. Eric, thanks to you for coming back. Thanks to Brady Hicks for joining us. Thanks to Rat Boy for calling in, and thanks to our first guest on our relaunch of our time together, the Stro, WCW Nitro star, the Maestro, hanging out with us for a little bit. Hopefully we get Jimmy Hart here next week. We'll keep you posted on Twitter. But for now, that's it. Thanks for listening. This has been VOC Nation Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Joey Stas. What's going on, Joey?
You know, for somebody who makes his living on radio, you have a hard time stringing together words. You all right?
I was trying to make a point. I'm using football as a soliloquy.
you know, you really have a way with words.
Rat Boy didn't even want to call in last week since you weren't here, so.
And the very first person that was ever in the ring was an amateur. It's Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman was not an NCAA champion.
Oh, my God.
I am heartbroken. I don't know why you're laughing.
Albert, you're a freeloader.
It is. It's buzz around the world. Twitter blew up. Facebook blew up.
It's the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. What's going on, Jimmy?
Well, you never know. Telephone, telegraph, and tell the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, we're full of all kind of surprises.
This is the Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time in the WWE, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
You know why you don't want me on your radio show? Because you know the ratings will go through the roof. You'd make a lot of money, and that way you keep me off. That way you will stay always broken.